To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. All correspondence and inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter with hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, you can find us by hashtag Watchman and join us on USA.life or MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. And the WIBR Warn Radio is also on Parler and Clout Club. And you can listen to our shows on the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Please take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. We're featuring Loving the Brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain. Loving the Brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain loved his brother. Brethren in Christ, but not as Cain. This is a point for all Christians to remember. Also, Intelligible Faith, the Three Cognitive C's for Christian Clarity. Messiah's Promise, included as a series. This is from our Warn Radio Classic series. Don't miss this. It is a journey of promise for both Christians and Jews, as well as for all who believe upon the promise given. And we have Sound of the Trumpet series, parts 1 through 7. Sound of the Trumpet series, when the watchman warns, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. The Watchman Sound of the Trumpet series looks at the setting of the watchman. And now, I welcome in the watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good.
Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines, and this is exciting. We're on part 58 of Isaiah's prophetic book.
Yeah, we are. Part 58. That's 58 hours, 58 segments, and we're in chapter 27. So we still got a little under two-thirds to go.
Wow.
So sometime in the year 2525, no, we'll get done before that. But
if man is still alive.
Yeah, that's true. Boy, at the rate we're going, I sometimes wonder.
Oh, I know.
Oh, and our politics is so poisoned, and America, you know, there's so many people that are nuts in this country. If I was taking count, I would have lost track a long time ago.
It's not even worth listening to or
no, it isn't.
Paying attention
nope,
to.
Nope, that's for sure. So, you know, we're on a lot of other things. Clout Hub, we've been on that for a little while.
I always want to call that Clout Club.
Yeah, me too. And I think I did call it that a couple of, a while.
I think I did earlier on the show.
When I found out that it was really Hub. But they had a big warning on their website today because they have so many people joining up. The server can't handle it, so they're going to have to get a new server or do something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it can be a mess. It really can. I tell you, Parler is suffering the same thing. I was posting stuff on the other day, and it took about 5 hours for it to appear, all the stuff.
Good grief.
4 hours. It was quite a while because I was checking it, and I reposted it several times, and it still wouldn't come out right. And so it finally did later on in the day when I came back after about the third try, but it wouldn't post right away. So both of them are having trouble. That's because everybody, Ron Paul, you name it, and they're going over to Parler. I think that's their first choice, and then Clout Hub. But, MeWe is also growing, and so's... USA.live, and because if you look at Google and Twitter, they and Facebook, and they pretty much sold their soul to the Democratic Party. So
that's right.
They really did. It's unfortunate.
Well, it's not surprising that all those people are going to Parler. They're tired of being controlled by Facebook and Twitter and Google.
Well, I can tell you, Parler and Clout Hub both have a different feel about them. You can tell the minute you get on it. Parler is probably the preferable one. Clout Hub, you can get other things on it. These are sites that are dedicated to freedom of expression and the amendment constitutional. So they're going to be all right. That is, unless we get Joe Biden, Kamala, the Hun Harris in there. And when they try to turn this country into a third-rate country concentration camp, then they're not going to get in, though.
No, I don't believe they will.
Because, we're not too far from the Canadian border. I don't know if Canada wants to have 38 million people suddenly show up.
On their doorstep.
Well, Canada is socialist, that parliamentarian thing, but they've gotten worse themselves. So Canada isn't exactly the answer. We do have friends in Canada, but you got to be really, really careful up in Canada. So at any rate, we got to do this. We're Isaiah prophetic book. We're going to go ahead and do this. So,
okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. The Lord's Vineyard. That is this segment portion. And when we talk about it, it brings in providence, judgment, reproof, redemption, mercy, and God's love. And we're going to be talking about a song of the vineyard. And, that term is used quite a bit. And in Isaiah 27:2, in that day sing you unto her a vineyard of red wine. If you had a full vineyard, and there's one thing about wine, and even another thing that applies here is olive oil. Olive oil is rated according to, what it is. There's a lot of different flavors, very complexity with olive oil as well. And Tower and I pretty much, all we do is use olive oil. And we definitely have tasted the difference. But it is something else. You get those olive oils that are real expensive. They come from various parts of the world. People seek them out. And it's just like a good red wine. You have a vineyard, you know, a Chablis or whatever you're talking about. I cook with wine. I don't drink wine. So, it's very special. And of course, if you look at Israel, we see Israel as a vineyard itself. We see the Lord talking about He is the vine, we are the branches. So there's a lot of applications when we talk about this prophetically. Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. And I think when we do talk about a vineyard, you know, if you had a vineyard that was really, really good, it would be set apart from everybody. And so a vineyard, a red wine, mature in its fullness, delicious and perfect. Remember, one of the miracles that the Lord did was a miracle of the wine. And when we look at that, we also know that when you're talking about the Passover lamb and many other things, you know, communion for the new covenant, many people are using wine. Wine represents the blood. And so there's a lot of this. And because it is red wine, we think of the blood, which cleanses. But at any rate, a vineyard of red wine, set apart, totally set apart. And it's just like, you know, the godly is that vineyard. The godly is that one that's connected within the vineyard to the source of himself. I mean, you can have just about anything you talk about, whether it's berries or whether it's grapes, everything's connected to the main branch. And so when the Lord says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, there's a hint there. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And in the Old Testament, the Jews, you know, both houses of them, learned that the hard way. Yes, he put in Jerusalem the temple. He had his prophets and he had his priests, but they fell away. How can you get a hold? How can you be a witness to the world when you yourself aren't even connected to him? When the Lord, whom you're supposed to serve, becomes an enemy? And if you read Jeremiah, you will get that understanding very quickly that Judah is not where it needs to be, and Judah does not want to hear the truth. Now, Isaiah, of course, is prophesying all of this ahead of time. And 5:7, Isaiah 5:7, and we've already been through this before, but we're bringing it back for this particular section. Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and every man of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. They weren't where they needed to be. But this one quite plainly points out that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Now, of course, in Isaiah, you know, in the main part of the judgment, the main house of Israel. Now, of course, it was divided, but when we look at the house of Israel here, we are thinking of both the house of Israel, or Israel, the northern tribes. The 10 tribes are called the lost tribes of Israel. And then, of course, Judah, the southern half of that, which consisted of Judah and Benjamin, and the Levites were down there. And so you have this breakdown, and every man of Judah his pleasant plant, because we all grow in the Lord. Now, in the new covenant, we see where he's the vine, we are the branches, and we're growing, and we have fruit, and the Father is the husbandman that prunes every plant, and that's what the Lord does, and he does do that through his Spirit, and also through his Word. That can convict you, could do various things here. And so in John 15, 1 through 11, now this is a little big section, but you know this quite well, but it fits in here because we are in the new covenant and we're looking at the older covenant, and Isaiah's been warning about a lot of judgments to come, among whom was on Jerusalem. And it was quite, of course, in history, every nation knows what happened. And even today, you know, Israel is still in the news about everything. And, of course, they have more enemies than you can shake a stick at. But in this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, remember here, he says, I am in the beginning of this. And that's very important because the I am represents the true and the living God. It represents the I am that I am. There was nobody before me. I've always existed. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he shall take away. And every one that bears fruit, he shall purge, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now, you know, being a person that has a garden and grows things, I know very well what happens when you prune, or in this case he says purge. Well, one of the ways you purge is you prune the plant and you cut off necessary plants that aren't bearing fruit, aren't doing anything except sucking up all the nutrients of the plant, and they never produce any fruit. So what you end up doing is nurturing the ones that are bearing the fruit and cutting the ones that don't have any fruit on them. Now, this is quite a comparison here. And if we get back into the Old Covenant and Isaiah, where we're at, the idea of everything that God was dealing with Israel was redemptive, to get them where they needed to be in a relationship with the Lord God and a place where he could bless them. Verse 3 says, now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, you know, of course, he's talking to the apostles. Now, see, the problem you got in Israel, though, they didn't have no apostles. They had prophets, but they also were turned aside backward. And if you get into when Jeremiah was warning exclusively about Judah and what was coming and that they needed to repent, they didn't even want to listen to him. So you can't become clean through the word if you're not going to listen to the word. Now, in this John 15:3, this is relevant to us today. We can look at this in Isaiah, and we can see what God was doing. Abide in me, and I in you. See, that's the abiding factor. That's the connection. I'm the vine; you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now that's a lesson to the church. We can't do anything without him. Israel could not do anything without the Lord God. Although they tried to defend themselves, although they tried to use various secular means, although they did seek the Queen of Heaven, and they of course had Asherah there and Baal, and they passed their children through fire, none of that was able to save them in the long run. And so there's a lot of good comparison between John 15 and the fact of what we're looking at of Israel being that vineyard. Now, Kylan DeLeach, regarding this, says the prophecy passes for the fourth time into the tone of a song, and that's this whole section. It's really like a song. And the church recognizes itself in the judgments upon the world as Jehovah's well-protected and beloved vineyard. And, you know, if you're in, see, the key is being in Jehovah. And today, being in Jehovah through Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Because when the judgment comes, you know, there is no doubt that there is coming some severe judgments on the world, and they've rejected the Lord God. And there's going to be you know, you're not going to want to be here. But see, when you see that particular phrase in there about the vineyard, this is a prophecy that is following, a song that's following everything concerning their judgment. They've been, you know, think of this, you know, they've been caught up for 70 years. They finally get free. They're going back to Jerusalem. They're going to have a temple. It's not as big as the other one, but they're going to be free. They're going to be in their own land, and they're going to be able to get back to what they were doing. So they're going to be happy. And so you could very well see a merry vineyard in being delivered here. You know, the translation that here, that Kyle and Delish use is a little bit different than the King James Version. I, Jehovah, its keeper, every moment I water it, that nothing may come near it. I watch it night and day, wrath have I none. Oh, had I thorns and thistles before me, I would make up to them in battle, burn them all together. Men would then have to grasp at my protection. Make peace with me, make peace with me. Now, see, I think if you're a believer today, there is no doubt that you have to be found in Yahshua Jesus Christ. That every moment of every day, you have to focus in on him. There is tons of news out there. And there are tons of news anchors with biasness. There's all kinds of people with money that are pumping money into America to make it the kind of nation they want. They don't care about what our Constitution says. We have many plots and secrets, and we have politicians that deliberately allow destruction of their cities. And their one goal is to get rid of Trump, to get rid of MAGA, to get rid of his followers, to stop everything he's doing, because a lot of them want an ultra-socialist nation. That's their whole goal. And so, you know, I mean, if you're okay with that, then you're not going to be worried. But make no mistake, the minute you change what is in this country, you're going to be in trouble. Because it's never going to be the same. I mean, the kids that are out there that are protesting Antifa and Black Lives Matter, both, almost all of them, you know, a lot of them are using iPhones and wearing Nike sneakers. Very expensive stuff. Well, if you really won't go to a true socialist place, you're going to be in trouble. Because the socialist nations, the true socialist nations, their kids ain't running around in Nikes and having iPhones. But see, the day of dawning truth would happen, because this nation is not going to stay the same, and especially if we've fallen away. God's blessings are only on a people when they obey him, and that's the bottom line. I mean, here, you know, in this verse, he translated it. The translation is, make peace with me, make peace with me. If you go to Psalm 2, it's entirely a different thing. So let's go to Psalm 2. Now, this is one that is very, very relevant to today. Why do the Gentiles rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, if you look around, you see a lot of that raging going on. And the people, look at the people we have in America and what they're doing, rioting and everything. And what do they want? They're just rioting. They go in and they're stealing stuff. And some of the leaders say, well, this is reparations. Well, that's fine and dandy, reparations, but in actuality, you're stealing and you're a thief. Well, we don't see it that way. It doesn't matter. The reason it don't matter is because you're going to answer to God. You ain't going to answer to man. See, this is the thing. And when we talk about all of your governors, all of your mayors, all of your policemen, every person, every one of them is going to answer to the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord over all agencies, all powers of everything there is. There will nothing that will exist that will not be judged. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now see, the cords and the bands are those laws of God. that has been placed down, all the natural boundaries. Like in the beginning, there was Adam, and then he created a wife for Adam, and then they were male and female. And they had children, and he said to go multiply. You see, Adam and Steve can't multiply anything. Neither can Margaret and Mary. And so we have a big thing today. It's all okay. And, you know, it is so okay. We have a lot of these kind of arrangements, you know. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. Because the world, the nations have embraced it. Now, see, there's a lot of other things. Abortion. And then if you get into DNA, you get into the genome, you get into creating and mixing genomes and various things between animals and men and everything else. This is what we're doing today, and all of that is coming against God and what he has set the bounds. See, there's a point that God said, this is it, and you don't go by this. You don't ignore it, because in the end, it's going to harm you. And that's the same way when we look at the law in the Old Testament. A lot of the laws down there, especially if you get into the laws concerning health and things like that, these are things to help Israel, to keep them alive. And they're same things today that you could take hints from. A lot of the original medical things that we learned, we got out of Scripture back in the Old Testament, and plagues and various things. So, and it says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. In other words, you're not going to bother the Lord. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and trouble them in his sore displeasure. Now, you can take that verse and put it into Revelation during the wrath of God. And you're going to find out that all the stuff that you demanded, well, you know, God didn't destroy you when you demanded to do it. God didn't destroy you when you were doing things you shouldn't have been doing, and you did it, and then it caused trouble. You're going to reap what you sow. But then, after you reap what you sow, you're going to face God. And before you're going to face him at the great white throne judgment, you're going to have to go through the tribulation, the wrath of God tribulation, which you ain't going to make it through that. Many, many people are going to die. Yet have I set, and so it says, yet have I set my king upon Zion, the mountain of my holiness. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's the son of God being mentioned in Psalms 2. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the Gentiles for thine inheritance, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now see, all this right here declares the Son of God. This declares Zion eternal. This declares that the Gentiles are not going to possess the earth. The redeemed of the Lord will possess this. And Daniel goes even further in some of his visions on how God set this up, and how he was given a kingdom and an everlasting kingdom. And the last verse, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled in a little while. Blessed are all those that put their trust in him. Now see, that's why you want to be a well-watered garden. You want to be a fine vineyard of the Lord. You want to be that son or daughter of God that's producing fruit, walking in his way, so when the wrath falls, it won't fall on you. Remember the warning to Mystery Babylon to the people of God, come out of her, my people, so that you don't partake of those plagues. You don't partake of her sins. You're not going to receive the judgment on you, because you come out of her, see. I, the Lord, do keep it. Keep the vineyard. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Now, I think that's important. Think about that. You know, there is a portion prophetically that we term as the time of the night. The Lord spoke of the time of the night, which reflects the power of darkness, and a time that it has been given to rule. And that happened during the crucifixion, during the whole thing that Christ was going through. There was a darkness up here. And I'm not talking about, although there was a literal darkness there, there was the power of darkness that was working deceit to destroy the Son of God. Now, had darkness known that by destroying him and putting him on the cross, you were actually defeating yourselves, and he would become, he triumphed openly over all principalities and powers. And he triumphed, was resurrected from the dead. Now, see, this is why it's important. Israel did not stay a well-watered garden or in the favor of the Lord. They rebelled against the Lord and went into captivity for 70 years. Now, the northern tribes totally got caught up in the judgment, and as many times when major armies come in, they take the native population, their women and children, they retrain them. The women, they get them to mix blood, in other words, have babies of the conquerors, and they mix the people in with the conquerors, so they're not going to want their own territory again. And so a lot of them, if they weren't killed and carried away and sold into captivity, a lot of them were swallowed up and in the nations. That's why we call them the lost tribes of Israel. They were swallowed up in the world, got lost in the world. They're still there, but we don't know where they're all at. They're gathering now. And there's a lot of them that are coming out from various places because they had the law of God all the time in this, in their heart. And so in Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the mountains, from whence cometh my help. Now, I can tell you, in this tough time that we're living in now, if you suddenly had an army come through the land, you would definitely be looking up and trying to find some help somewhere. And the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Now see, these are promises. I believe these things. See, I believe that when judgment comes, when trouble comes, that you can seek the Lord, you can believe for deliverance, and it will be there. Now, one of our guides is in Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. But there's also the Hebrews Hall of Faith, which is very important. And there's that Hall of Faith that all the Hebrews, you know, Paul goes through it and tells you about all the various things. Some were martyred, some believed God and stood on the promises and saw great victories. Now see, we get again into Daniel, we can even take that even further, because we can find scriptures in there that does say indeed point to the fact that there will be a church in the end of days, a people of God that will do many mighty miracles, will do things. And we've reported on a lot of stuff coming from the field. And the very field that we report on, how many and how troubling it is, there is still miracles coming out of these areas. And so he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Now, I love this next one. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the apostles actually pick up on that, because they talk about how God is able to keep you. And I think as Christians, and knowing the heritage and knowing these scriptures, especially out of Isaiah, can give us balance and understanding that this God is not new to the saving of people. He's not new to the keeping of people. and that we need to remember to pray, we need to remember to fast, we need to remember to seek Him, and to be stalwart in our faith and belief. And here's another one. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now see, during the time that Judah was in captivity, he wasn't doing that. Well, yes, he was. He wasn't doing it in the fullness of the blessing of them being in their own land. But he had to keep Israel for 70 years because a lot of the Davidic promises and prophecies were going to come flow through Judah. And when Judah went into captivity, and if they didn't, exist, God would have had to figure out how's he going to fulfill what we call the red line of redemption, or the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Old Testament into the New Testament. But you see, God preserved Israel. He also called Cyrus, his anointed, and brought him in to defeat Babylon and to set Israel free and tell him to go build a temple and rebuild Jerusalem and populate it and live. Now see, this is how God preserved them at that time. And look at the examples of Daniel in the lion's den. Look at the example of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and what they went through. See, all these things are something that you can take heart about. Well, that was the old covenant, and God ain't going to do that for me. Well, you keep thinking like that, and you're going to die. You need to get your head up. You need to look that this God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is a God that you call upon him, and he will know. And if there's a way to deliver you, he can do it. And we also remember the last part of that, 12:11 says, in Revelation, we love not our lives unto death. There's going to be people that are going to be martyred in these times. Christians are going to die, but they're not going to be separated. They're going to be victorious, and they're going to be with Christ forever. So, especially if you want a psalm, Psalm 121 is a good psalm to just read it and be encouraged. Isaiah 27:4, fury is not in me. Who had set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them and I would burn them forever. You know, the one thing when I look at these verses, you know, those that love death hate the Lord. You want to die? Then just hate the Lord God and his Son. Be his enemy. And you may even get famous. Like another atheist that I know. Heard of. So have you. A woman. Her son became a Christian. But you see, hating the Lord is a good way to find hell and find death. And he can always outlast you when you're being stubborn. He can always go one up on trying to get the best of people because he knows what you're going to do before you do it. But see, the fury is not in me, he says, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. He said, I'll go through them. Fury is not in me. You see, God is not pleased with the death of the wicked. And he wasn't pleased with Israel falling away. He sent the prophets. He woke up early, Scripture says. And that waking up early is sending the prophets. And warning Israel to come back. Now you notice when we get in the New Testament, we have messages to the seven churches in Revelation. And all seven of those, seven is God's perfect number, and that represents God's mercy to the church and the people of God in the new covenant, trying to tell you that he doesn't want to destroy you, but there is limits to what he can do. And it's your choice. If you choose to be disobedient, then he has no choice but then to judge you, and he's no respecter of person here. And so he is full of love and full of mercy, even when Moses wanted to see his glory. The Lord declared who he was, and mercy was among them, extending mercy to thousands upon thousands of generations of those who love me, he said. See, he wants to give mercy. He doesn't want to give judgment. He's going to judge everything anyway, but he doesn't want to destroy. He is a God of creation, a God of love, a God of mercy. And see, Israel being redeemed, and this is the point that you need to understand. When you look at Israel, when you look at Judah, and David Wilkerson used to say this, you can see the church, how God dealt with Israel, he's going to deal with the church too. And the first thing here, oh, you know, we're not like that at all. They were under the old covenant, we're on under the new covenant. You're not that much different than you think. Not at all. But see, Revelation 3:19, I like this one. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now see, I told you, God is a God of mercy. And mercy flows out of God's love. But he says, as many as I love, and it says that for God so loved the world. So God loves the world full of people. And as many of all of those in the world that I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? Because they're sinners. They need to be saved. And he rebukes them and chastens them in order to get them to repent and come back and walk in a way that they need to walk. See, because if they don't, they will face Sheol and death forever. It says, behold, I stand at the door and call, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him, we'll sup with him, and he with me. See, Isaiah 24, fury is not in me. But if you want to set up some briars or thorns against me, I'd just go through them and I'd burn you all. I would burn the briars and thorns and those who put them up. I'd burn every one of you up. Do you think you putting up these things are going to stop me? Do you think, you know, you serving Satan and having all kind of witchcraft and putting up the devil's horns and sacrificing babies in blood is going to affect me? God says, no, you need to repent. I'd just walk right through it and I'd burn all of you up and you would wind up in Sheol. I am a God of love and mercy, but I cannot, absolutely not, have sin in my presence. It will burn up. That's why you need to be changed. See, the Lord in John 1, he went to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, you need that power through regeneration, that power just like with Abraham, who believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake for that belief. So it is with you. When you believe, it's imputed unto you and you can become a son of God. But you got to walk, you got to work, you got to study. Now, yes, you're a believer and God sees you as his child. But it's not like, okay, God, you saved me, now just do it all for me. No, you must study to show yourself approved. God wants to see you study. And I can tell you, I know he does, because I've been told that. Not by no man, either. I remember one time I was interceding from God. Yeah. And I heard him tell me. And it was an audible voice. I don't like to talk about that much because people go screwy when I tell them things like that. But I can tell you, if you believe God can't, that doesn't change the fact that he can. That just changes your perspective on being able to expect a miracle. If you believe he doesn't save, well, I can tell you one thing. He will save all those that call upon him. But if you're too dumb and too stupid to repent, when you stand before him in judgment and you're condemned, he will show you a place in the book where your name was to go. Now, you see, Israel, for her part, now, see, that's the one thing. You can thank God you're not under the law, but you're under grace and truth. You're not going to face the judgment until we stand before him. Leviticus 26, 14 through 46, we're not going to go through all that, but just to give you a little example. But if you'll not hearken unto me and will not do all these my commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul should abhor my rites so that you do not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. Now I'll tell you, you want to read something about what happens when you make God mad. You know, I don't think people in the church honor God enough. I don't think they praise him enough. I don't think they understand who you're dealing with. We have been raised in a McDonald's type Christianity where, you know, man, Lord, I want this. I want a job. I want good insurance. I want a nice wife. I want a nice car. I want a beautiful house. Yada, yada, yada. Everything secular, carnal. And we've had major preachers. We got millionaire preachers. God didn't call you to become a millionaire. We have millionaire type edifices we call churches. We're spending too much money on our house of worship while we let people starve. But we got a nice church. I got news for you. You get overseas, people are lucky to have a weed sometime to kneel down. They've got so many enemies around them, and they will burn down their old thatched roof houses. They'll burn down their churches that they managed to scrape up. I remember we sent many, many years ago, we had some people that needed a house, a family needed a home. So we sent them $50, and that would build an entire home where they're at. And they made it out of cinder blocks, an entire home. Well, see, they build the sides, and then they put the trees and things up on top of it, a thatched roof, and fix it that way. You don't know. You need to understand. It's time to wake up, folks. God isn't going to keep giving you pablum. And it's going to get tough. And it says, I will also do this unto you. This is if they break it. I'll appoint over you terror, consumption, and burning ague. It will consume the eyes and torment the soul. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I'll scatter you among the Gentiles and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. And it goes on from there. And you shall perish among the Gentiles, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Now see, that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Now you take a warning, church. We need, and I say we for all of us, in this country called America. You don't like people trying to destroy your country? Then you need to have a massive revival in this. You need to have all the churches repent, every one of them. We need to repent. And I don't mean repent of black stuff and all this nonsense that's on the street. You need to repent before God. You don't need to repent before anybody of any color. You need to repent before God. The churches need to. And we need to seek the Lord as never before. And you need to get sin out of the church, sin out of the pastorate. And we need to love one another. See, these are the things. When we're talking about Israel, see, Israel is celebrating. These verses are celebratory of what God would do in this relationship. See, God can say this. I mean, this is good because this represents, hey, they're free. They're out of Babylon. And they're back as the vineyard of red wine. This is a mature, good red wine. They're done. They fulfilled the judgment. And they were okay when they came out of there. Now, see, I've had people say, well, you know, you're missing the point because Jews still aren't saved. Well, you're missing the point because at this point, under the old covenant, where they were fine when they came out of there. There was nothing more required of them except what God had required them to do when they got back into Judah. As far as the new Israel, God is working on it. And there are ministries like Mawaz, there's Israel over there, and Jerry Golden's. And frankly, you as a Gentile who don't know nothing about it needs to shut your mouth and let God work to save his people and those who are over there who know how to do it. I had a Jewish prophet tell me one time, if you want to try to convert a Jew, you better take a sack lunch and an army and be prepared to stay there a while. And he says, if you can get a word in edgewise, you might be able to say something. It's not always easy, but we have promises. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 8, it says, "And you have quite forgotten the consolation which speaks unto you as sons. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges, and every one whom he receives as a son. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father does not chasten? Well, today's society is full of it. But if you are without chastisement, of which all the sons are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. If you think you're a Christian, and you won't endure chastisement from God, then you're a bastard." Hebrews 12, 5 through 8. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So before you have snide remarks about Israel, before you say, how could they do that? Look at the church. Remember, one of the things about the church, they're rich and in need of nothing. They don't know that they're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. When we look at these verses today, understand that there's a mirror here. And that mirror is reflecting your face, the church's face. That's what it's doing. And it's time for us to get a grip, to understand what God wants, and then do it. Get together and do it, because I'll tell you, America is facing a lot of challenges. But the thing of it is, I believe that God has appointed us for this day and this hour. I believe that America is not finished. I don't believe that Kamala and Biden are going to destroy America. They could if you let them to it, but there's going to be forces against them. If they get in, I don't think they will get in. So it's important to look to the Lord and not yourself and not the situation, whatever you're facing. How would you like to have been in captivity like Israel for 70 years? That's like America, suddenly tomorrow, in captivity to China or something. For 70 years, I would, you know, if it was most Americans would, you know, die of old age before they'd see the America that they used to know. Understand where Israel was. Understand what's at stake today. I can tell you right now, though, there's a lot of people that want to be entertained. They want to be entertained on the internet. They want to be entertained when it comes to preaching. They want to be entertained in the churches. It's time to grow up. So remember, this is part 58. And I don't expect you to go over to my websites and listen to 57 other parts. But there's a lot of good stuff on those websites. True, biblically oriented, in-depth. We have articles and audios. I used to have a lot of videos, but I've been doing away with them for a few years. You can check them out. We have a lot of places where you can listen. But it's important for you to see what's going on. And understand, if you were Israel getting out, you'd be welcomed. You'd be happy that he called you the vineyard of the Lord. Because they would have known, this is Israel, is the vineyard of the Lord. She's fruitful. She produces for the Lord God. She stands in him. And I can tell you today, whatever people may think of the Jews in Israel, there's one thing that those people can do. They do read the Bible, and they do speak it, and they do weep. And they also rejoice and dance. There's not a people on earth I know that loves life more than they do. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless your people when they hear it. Whenever they do, undertake in their lives, make a way for them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower. Are you back? Well, at any rate, I can't hear you if you are.
Really? You can't hear me?
I can hear you now. What were you doing?
I guess the mic was off. I was talking to you.
Oh, was you?
See, you never pay attention to me.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pay attention when I can't hear you. Yeah, I know. For all of you that want to help Warren Radio out, we need a new system. Speakers, mixer, and the whole thing. We're getting by.
Yes, but the Lord makes a way.
He does. Amen to that. We do. But at any rate, we do need some speakers and things. Our other stuff is fine. Doing dandy. At any rate, another day down. We're going.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast the time is. I was thinking about last night. Excuse me. We only have 2.5 more months till the election.
Don't say it. Oh, election. I thought you were going to say the W word.
Oh, winter?
No. Oh, no.
No, I just can't believe how fast this year has gone by. And the election will be here before we know it.
Oh, man. I know. Can't believe it.
Well, anyway, I'm glad that you guys have joined us whenever you do. Our wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're thankful that you're a part of this, and we appreciate you and all you do for the King, because that's what really matters. The bottom line is, it's what you do for the King, what you do for the Lord. It's not this worldly stuff. So we thank you for that, and may God richly bless you, and we love you, and good night to all of you.
Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Don't forget to read the articles, listen to the shows, pass them on to your friends, help us to spread the word. Be blessed, be safe, look unto the Lord, and keep your tunnel vision on Jesus. This is the Watchman. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.